one of the difficulties that the Christmas season brings, as well as the season of Easter, is that when I go to prepare messages concerning the holiday, there simply is a limited amount of biblical revelation that I have to choose from to preach upon. And after you've been here for a few years and gone through it a couple of different times, the question becomes, well, what am I going to say this year that I haven't already said? After all, you can't change Scripture, can you? And then the light went on. This morning, I want to change Scripture. I want to read the part of the Christmas story, the part of the Gabriel's announcement to Mary of God's choice of her to be the one through whom the Savior would come, and I want to change the Scripture. So I can guarantee you this morning that you will hear the biblical account of the birth of Christ like you've never heard it before. Probably never should, but that's another story. Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, and I want to begin reading at verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And when Mary awoke from her sleep, she quickly ran to Joseph and said, You would not believe the dream I just had. I dreamed that there was this angel by the name of Gabriel who spoke to me and said that he was going to do something miraculous in me, and I was going to give birth to the Messiah of the people of Israel, and a Savior would come into the world through me. Wow, I really shouldn't eat those pepperoni pizzas before I go to bed at night. That's not in there. And aren't you glad? Because if that was the response of Mary, if that's what verse 38 truly did say, instead of what it does say, do you realize that there would be no Christmas to celebrate? Because God had chosen Mary to be the mother of the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of you and I. And at that point, she's unbelieving if what I just said was the way it read. God did not choose anyone else. He chose Mary. He chose that specific time, not later, not earlier. And if she would have responded in that fashion, there would be no Christmas for you and I at all, ever. And we would be doomed to a Christless eternity in a literal lake of fire, to suffer for all time. Aren't you glad it didn't end that way? Now let me give a different reading. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Are you kidding me? You're going to do what? You've got to be kidding.
That doesn't work. You don't understand. Gabriel, you haven't been around very long here, have you? You don't understand the physical laws of nature that God has ordained. It takes a man and a woman coming together to conceive a child. It doesn't take some Holy Spirit overshadowing me. That doesn't work. That'll never happen. And had Mary responded in that way, there would be no Christmas. Because that was the plan, how God would bring a son into the world and bypass the sin of Adam. Any other way, naturally ordained way, would not have produced a Messiah of Israel, a Savior for you and I. It would have produced a naturally perfect born sinner who could never be a Savior. Aren't you glad verse 38 didn't come out that way? Well, let me try again. Maybe I'll get it right one of these days. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and then this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, do you really mean I'm that good? You said, fear not, I found favor with God, and that I am highly favored and blessed among... Well, look, I've tried to maintain some purity, and I have done a good job in that, but I'm nothing special. In fact, I come from a poor family. I don't have much to offer God. I'm not married yet. I'm really not qualified to be a mother. If you bring a child into this world through me, I won't really have much to offer him. Certainly there are more important people out there than me that could provide physically for him more than I could provide, and I'm not so sure you picked the right person. It doesn't say that either, and aren't you glad? As we'll be looking at, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, I will be asking the question, will Mary make a good mother? And may I say to you that Mary had all the qualities to be the perfect mother for the Lord Jesus Christ. And her financial assets were not included in that. We think to be good parents sometimes we have to give our children everything. May I say to you, nothing could be further from the truth. And aren't you glad that's not how verse 38 reads? Because if verse 38 read that way, there would be no Christmas. Well, sooner or later, I've got to get this right. Let me try again. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, that's a great plan. What can I do to help? I remember way back years and years ago that a promise was given to Abraham of a son, and he said the same thing, and Abraham was a good man, so I guess I'm doing well in saying, okay, I'm willing to go along with your plan. What can I do to help? Maybe we need some fertility drugs to help along here. Maybe I should do this or do that. And if that was the case, then what was conceived in her womb wouldn't have been of God, would it have been? It would have been of human production. And consequently, that which would be born would not be qualified to be a Messiah of Israel and a Savior for you and I. And we would have no Christmas. Well, verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, and yeah, look how that's working out for them. You announced something great to them, and Zacharias hasn't said a word about it.
It's caused a lot of friction in their family. He comes home for supper. He wants something special. And Elizabeth said, "What do you want for supper?" And he goes, "Can't say a word." And they're fighting all the time. You want me to have that kind of relationship with my fiancé, Joseph? Not a chance. This miraculous working stuff isn't really miraculous for good. Unfortunately, that's not the way verse 38 reads, is it? Well, let me try one other thing. Last one, I promise. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." That sounds fine, Gabriel. But to tell you the truth, I'm just not really interested in it. Surely you can find somebody else. You can debate whether there was somebody else or not. Fact of the matter is, the day and age in which this happened, there were very few virgins. So the pickings were slim. But regardless of that, she is the one that God chose. And in reality, whether there were qualified people or not, there was simply no one else, because she was the one that God chose. And if she said no, then there would be no Christmas, no Messiah for Israel, no Savior for you and I. Aren't you glad that verse 38 reads, "And Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Because when she said that, God's plan of salvation sprang into effect. And because of that, Israel has a Messiah. And you and I have a Savior. Now, what's the application for you and I? In the same way that Gabriel was sent from God to speak to Mary about his plan of salvation for the world, God's Holy Spirit oftentimes speaks to our hearts about witnessing to others about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world, about the sin of man and the need for salvation, and how Christ on Calvary's cross bore our sins in his body, died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that simply by faith in him, man can have the forgiveness of sins, imparted righteousness that is absolutely perfect, and the assurance of an eternity with God. And we say, "Oh, man, I must have been dreaming. That couldn't have been the Spirit of God speaking to me. I must have reacted to something I ate, or surely he doesn't want me to say that, or, well, I'm not really qualified to do that. There are people that are better gifted than I am in those things. After all, that's not one of my spiritual gifts." Or they'll wonder about my reputation. They'll think I've gone off the deep end and something to the effect of, "Well, just presenting that simple message to a person probably won't work. How can I help to enhance it?" Or I look at somebody else who has done those things and I see problems in their lives and trials and tribulations because the world hates them and I don't want to be hated by the world. Or we say, "Well, that's good, but that's just not my thing. Somebody else can do it." And you know, there are people that God has called us to that we are the only ones to whom God can use to reach that person for Jesus Christ. And if we pull the same things that Mary could have pulled,
there'll be no Christmas for them. See, what it all comes down to is Mary had a choice in verse 38 to say, well, who am I going to please? Do I want to please myself and do the things that I want to do, or do I want to please God and go through all these other possibilities, trusting that He will overcome them through me? And she chose to please God. The question is, who will you please? If you sit down and think about it, you can probably come up with a million reasons why you shouldn't witness to somebody else that God lays upon your heart. And if you give in to them, you will please yourself, but not God. And that person won't have much of a Christmas, or a New Year's, or an Easter, or the 4th of July, or Labor Day, or any other holiday, or the 23rd of September, whatever that may be. But most of all, a Christless eternity. Because God wants to use you to reach them with His precious gospel, which can only save. Who will you please? Let's pray. Father, we can come up with all kinds of excuses not to be sensitive to hearing Your Spirit speak to our hearts, not to be vibrant in speaking Your Word to others, to be callous toward the world around us, to be more concerned with things and prosperity than with things that are eternal and godly. And we looked at the passage here this morning, and I dreamed of all kinds of excuses that Mary could give. And fortunately, when it came to verse 38, she said the right things. Father, when Your Spirit speaks to our heart, may we respond in just the same way that Mary responded, in faith and obedience. For there has to be people out there that You want to reach through us. And You choose to use us. You desire to use us. You've empowered us in ways beyond our comprehension, that just speaking such a simple word will do miraculous things. Lord, may we be found faithful. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, if you'll come.